Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Today, I had thought about reviewing some things from 2014 and talk about why do we exist? What do we do? What is our church about? What are we supposed to be doing when we call ourselves as part of this church and part of this family and members of Horeb Baptist Church? And I didn't want you to cheat, but at the same time, I just felt compelled to write things down for you to cheat. I don't know, but when I say Horeb Baptist Church, we are a church. That's what I thought. On our way to God's heart. Have you ever heard that before? Well, that's supposed to be like the motto of this church. But all of you either just got you confused with the question or didn't remember, or I don't know, but we are Horeb Baptist Church, a church that's the reason why I'm reviewing these things today. We are Horeb Baptist Church, a church on our way to God's heart. It's in your paper. In case you didn't know, it's on the screen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Karen. Oh, my God, I didn't know that. On our way to God's heart. I hope you are. I hope I am. I hope we all are. This was inspired on our way to God's heart. And I got to tell you, and I will tell you real quick, back probably in 2001, 2002, I had been praying so hard for God to give me a strategy, give me something, tell me what to do with this so-called Horeb Baptist Church, this congregation that I am now leading. This is back in 2000, and I prayed really, really, really hard. And I got to say, one day on a plane, I was coming back from some conferences in Costa Rica. And on our way back home, I was looking out the window, looking at the clouds and praying, Lord, where are we going as a church? Show us the way to your heart. Bam, it hit me. We need to be a church on our way to God's heart. Amen. I mean, we are in his heart already, right? He deems us part of himself. And he says, you are in my heart. But it's a journey for us to channel ourselves and to walk to his heart. Why do we want to walk? And why do we want to get on our way and journey into his heart? Because we want to what? To know him. We want to know what he wants from us. We want to know what he is expecting of us. We want to be in his heart because we want to be able to be in a relationship that is based on love. Yeah, on love. And we want to be straight up in his heart. And shortly after that, looking and praying and thinking and all that, we thought about our vision as the church should be to what? Impact New Orleans with what? With the love of Christ. To impact this city with the love of Christ. There is no other way. This city has been impacted by crime. This city has been impacted by hurricanes. This city has been impacted by so many things. Saints losing. Not anymore. Who that Super Bowl coming? Oh, my God, this is crazy. Everybody wearing their shirts and all that. This is awesome. It's a great spirit. Remember that you're not just a Saints fan. You're supposed to be a saint yourself. All right? in Christ, right? Of course, so our vision should be to impact New Orleans with the love of Christ. But we think about it and say, okay, how do we make an impact? How do we do this? Well, building what? We're making disciples, and we make disciples through what? Meaningful relationships in our daily lives. You want to reach people for Christ, you make relationships with people. You want to reach people for Christ, you get into their hearts yourself and love on them. You build relationships out of love. That's how you make disciples. Disciples are not made in a classroom. Disciples are not made when you read a book. Disciples are not made when you just teach a class. Disciples are made when you love and you relate to them and you show them and take them by the hand and show them the love of Christ. That's the way to make disciples. Yeah, and along the way you teach and preach and fellowship. That's how you disciple. That's how you make disciples. I hope all of these things that I'm saying right now, in the course of the next 4 weeks, by the end of the next 4 weeks, you should have this memorized already. We are Horeb Baptist Church, a church on our way to God's heart. And what is our vision? To impact New Orleans with the love of Christ. And how do we go about that? That's our mission. We what? We make disciples through meaningful relationships in our daily lives. Amen. Hallelujah. But how are we going to do all that? And how are we going to accomplish it? Well, that's our mission, making disciples. But what do we have that tells us that we need to make disciples and how to make disciples? Well, we have the Great Commandment and we have the Great Commission. That's our foundation. Our foundation is simply the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. But let's start with the Great Commandment. Anybody remember Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40? Love the Lord, what? Your God. With what? With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. What else? Oh, that's it? That's where we stop? We'll continue on verse 38. Come on. You don't know it? This is the greatest commandment. All right? So what? And that's it? What else does it say? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know the second commandment, right? You shall love the neighbor as yourself. This is the second commandment. This is very important. On these commandments depend what? Everything, the law and the prophets, everything that's been told, everything that's been preached, everything that they had heard from Genesis all the way to Jesus, it all depended on loving God and loving each other. Love is the foundation. That's our greatest commandment of all, to love. That's why we talked about building relationships in order to make disciples. All right? So now let's think about it. What about the Great Commission? Jesus said, all authority is given unto me. Therefore, what? Do what? Go and make disciples. In your neighborhood, in your city, in your state, in your nation, and everywhere, right? Make disciples of all nations. And what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to what? To keep my commandments. And I will be with you always and forever. Everywhere you go. No matter where you go, what you do. That's our foundation. That's what we've been told to do. The two greatest things we need to do is love God and love people. And then, number two, go reach them for Christ. Now, what kind of resources has he given us? He's given us the Word of God and he's given us prayer. This is the greatest resource you have, my man, my lady. This is the greatest resource you have because this is God revealed to you and me. And of course, the Holy Spirit working in your lives to understand and to know God. And then, of course, what other resources do we have? We have prayer. I mean, we can communicate directly with the God of the heavens, the creator of all, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He gives us free access to his throne of grace. Was just talking to a couple a few days ago, and we were talking about Mary. And I said, you know, you work for such a company, right? Yeah. And what if the CEO of that company came to you and gave you his personal number on a card and his address, his email, his whatever, his Twitter account, his Facebook, his everything, he even gave you his social security number. Gave you all of his information on a card and says, if you ever need anything in the job, you call me directly. I got your back. Wow. Something arises at work in the assembly line or something happens. Who do you go to? Your supervisor? I'll probably go to the CEO. He told me to call him personally. So why even go to anybody else? And he said, there goes Mary. Yeah, nothing wrong with Mary. Great Christian woman. But we go straight to our deliverer, to our God, and to it's prayer. Now, I want you to see a couple of verses, and I want you to write them down. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 talks about the Word of God, and why is it that the Word of God is such a great resource? For the Word of God is what? Living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the divisions of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Come on, people, the Word is powerful. And it's at your disposal. Not only the word, but prayer. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. You want to speak the word of God with boldness? Get on your knees and pray to God and ask him to shake you. Prayer is powerful. The only problem with prayer is that we don't pray enough. Amen? That is the truth. Wish it wasn't. And I could say it even in my own life. If I'd prayed more, oh my God. Sometimes I think about that. Sometimes I'm like, God, you do so many wonderful things. You give me so much. There's so much that I see you doing in my life and some people around me. And I'm thinking, if I prayed even more, oh my God, your power will get loose. All over the place. I need to be more on my knees and praying because that's my resource. Amen? Now, those are basic things that you need to have ingrained in your heart and mind as a member of this church. I hope. And in the next 4 weeks, we're going to help you with that. And I hope you help yourself to that. But today, I want to talk about a little something that we do or that we're supposed to be doing. There are four basic things that we need to be doing as a church to be able to fulfill the great commandment and the great commission and to be able to rightly use the word and to be able to rightly use prayer and really, really make disciples. And that is, one, connect. Number two, grow. Number three, serve. And number four, go. So you need to connect, grow, serve, and go. That's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing. Connecting, growing, serving, and going. Those are four basic things that we need to be doing throughout our lives. And today, I'm just going to speak about the first one, connecting. Connecting. Next week, you'll hear about growing, then about serving, and then about going. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about that in light of what we're supposed to do as a church. And let me tell you, I preach this stuff... back in 2012 and in 2014. But if you know me, I tend to repeat a lot of stuff, but also I tend to refresh a lot of my sermons. And I was talking to the group of leaders here at the church on Sunday, and I said, we're going to go through this four-week series that of stuff that we already know that I've preached before, but so it should be really easy. But then I sat down throughout the week and started changing and adding and improving and doing all kinds of stuff to it. And today, I want to speak to you guys. And Monday, this is Monday morning, I was listening to a podcast, and the passage in Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 through 30 came up, and as I was listening to this podcast and I heard this passage immediately, it connected in my heart with what I'm going to do with you or what we're going to do for the next 4 weeks, and I want us to go to Matthew chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. All right. verses 27 through 30. Now, Jesus had been, as always, at this point, answering people's questions and things like that, and talking about so many things. And he makes an invitation based upon the people being misled by the Pharisees. The Pharisees were these religious leaders who imposed so much on people. Well, if you really want to be righteous, you need to do this. If you really want to be upright, you need to do this and do this and do that. Do that, this and that and this and that. So many rules for people that people were like, there's no way I could become what God wants me to become then, because there's too many rules. There's too many things. It's impossible. And they're imposing so much on the people. And Jesus comes and says this, starting in verse 27. All things have been handed over to me. Sounds like the Great Commission. Remember, all authority is given to me. Wow. Well, he says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. You see, there's a connection between the Father and the Son. A connection between the Son and the Father. A connection that only if he reveals to us, we can get connected to him. And we're going to talk about connecting today. So he says, come to me, invitation to connect. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh my goodness. I want you to think about this, because the first thing he says is, come to me, come to me. There's an invitation to connect with him. Come to me. And then he says, learn from me. A little later, learn from me that I am meek and humble. That's when you start growing. You see, connect and grow. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. And his yoke is easy and the burden is light. You don't take a yoke unless you're going to do some work. So there you go. You're going to serve. So you see, connect, grow, serve. And then you don't put on a yoke and to stand there. You don't put a yoke on the animal just to stand there. He's got to go into the field and walk. He's got to go. Connect, grow, serve, and go. Right here in this passage. And I was like, whoa, this is good. It's amazing. It's amazing what God does. Now, let's think about connecting, because this is very important. Who do we connect with? We connect with God and we connect with our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Remember when somebody asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Look around. Who's your neighbor? Every single one in here is your neighbor. As a matter of fact, all the people watching on Facebook are your neighbors. They might not live in your same street. They might not live next door to you, but they're your neighbors. Jesus then makes no exclusions. He makes all inclusions. Your neighbor is anyone and everybody. You need to connect with everyone you can, with God first and then with them. And we already know that he gave us the Great Commandment to love him and to love other people, to love people. But let's think about a little bit more specific about what we said, because God uses the word to connect with us, and we connect with him through prayer. So God connects with us through his word, and we connect with him through prayer. Okay? And we need to connect to your neighbor through meaningful relationships like family, church, friends, neighbors, and even enemies. Let me talk about this for a little bit. Well, so when we talk about connecting with God through his word and prayer, then what we need to do is be devoted. Practice spiritual disciplines to be active. How many of you have a Bible reading plan? Raise your hand. You have a Bible reading plan. If you have a Bible reading plan, most likely you're going to read your Bible every day. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, maybe you're going to read the Bible every day or every other day or sometimes. You see, but when you don't plan, some say that when you don't plan, you plan to fail, right? So you got to make plans. How do you make plans to read the Bible? Maybe you're like, I don't know, I'm going to read this book and then that book and have one of those guides that people download from the internet. Maybe you don't, but you can still plan to read it if you just set aside the time. If you know for sure, you know what, I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I do my business from 6 to 7 o'clock and that business is getting ready for work and doing this and doing that and eating breakfast, drinking my coffee. Oh, wait a second, I can set aside 5 minutes for prayer. Oh, wait a second, I can set another 10 minutes aside for reading my Bible. And you set that time and you know that that time belongs to God and to you alone. That is planning to read the Bible, even if you don't know exactly what you're going to read. But you make plans. You know, you take time aside. The Bible is food. It is nourishment. We need it every day, just like you need that burger every day. Well, if you don't need it, why you eat it every day anyway? Right? No, Gina's like, no, we'll go with chicken adobo instead. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. You see, you got to eat every day. So the same thing with the word. It is about connecting with God. You want to connect with God every day. You want to listen to God every day. You want to listen to your neighbors every day. You want to listen to people because that's how you know how to connect with them. Amen. See, one of the things we don't take enough time is to listen to people. If we paid more attention to listening, then we would be listening more. And the more we listen, the more we know, the better we can connect with people. It takes paying attention. It means that you're going to bring both ears in and a hearing aid if you need it. Bring it all in. Bring it all in order to listen to God and to listen to other people. You want to connect with God first and foremost, of course. And I've always loved the illustration about the radio stations. You know, it's easy now to dial into a station because you got presets. It's digital, 107.5. What is it? K-Love. Boom. And then you go 89.1. That's live songs. And it's easy. But remember the days when you had to dial? Hallelujah. And then you go through the tunnel in Harvey. Hallelujah. Right? But you had to tune it manually. And you had to work at the dial to make sure that you got it right. The same thing is with God. You know, there's no digital automatic tuner, right? You're going to have to because there's too many distractions. There's too many interruptions. There's too many other things coming at you. It's like when you're trying to listen to your wife. Listen, guys, you can't listen to your wife and watch TV at the same time. I've tried it. It doesn't work. Well, at least it works for me, but not for her. You know what I mean? It's amazing. But women pick the worst times to come and talk. Well, actually, they don't come to talk. They come to interrupt. No, I'm just kidding, right? But the same thing is with God. We get interrupted all the time, and it creates frustration and distortion in our lives. Listening requires a choice to get into a particular place and pay particular attention. Tune into God, and you first have to choose to put away any other stations or any other things on that dial that divide your attention to God. That might mean tuning or turning away and turning off your phone for a little while. Well, Pastor, that's where I read my Bible, though. Right? You know, at one meeting with Joshua Del Risco, he's been here and preached before. He's an expert with youth. He's been working with so many groups in the United States. He came out of Texas here and he did a campaign with us and we talking about the youth and some of our youth leaders were like, but kids, they don't carry a Bible. They carry a phone and technology and this and that. It's so easy for them to access the Bible. And should we just be okay with that and using technology for the Bible? Or should we force them to bring a Bible? And you know what he said? He said something that so simple. This is one of those things that you go, duh. I knew that. He said, listen, reading the Bible on the telephone and all that is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not like God's going to strike you because you're using technology. But think about it. when that young man or that young lady opens the Bible itself, the Bible contains the Word of God and nothing else. But when they open their phones, it contains the Bible and everything else you can imagine to distract them to. So if you want to do something good, just encourage them to have one of these handy. Because when you're doing this, you're not dialing, you're not texting, you're not doing any of that. So you know what I'm talking about. And prayer, of course. You need to pray to God every day. You don't need to be eloquent, just need to be reverent. Okay? Just be careful. You're talking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I've heard, and I saw this statistic, and I just couldn't believe it. Well, I can't believe it about other people. Maybe I believe it about myself. But statistics say that the average person, check this out, the average person spends 1/5 of their lives talking. Okay, let's break that down into a 24-hour day. That means that the average person in a 24-hour cycle talks for about 4 hours and 48 minutes. Cookie? 4 hours, 48 minutes. We don't talk that much. We just post it. With pictures and all, right? We don't talk that much anymore. But it used to be, well, you see, when there was no phones and there was no social media, we would be talking and talking and talking on the phone. And I don't know about you. I'm a talker. Did you know? Well, some of you are too. Right? But it's okay. But it used to be, this statistic probably doesn't apply anymore, but it used to be that you could then fill a 50 page book in one day, that you could, a person would in their lives will fill in 132 books with 200 pages each. That's how much talking we do, and it would be incredible. Now, with social media, things have changed. But for those who don't use social media, maybe they still talk a lot on the phone and stuff. And let me tell you something. I know a person who has on the phone talked to her sister for 12 hours on the phone. And I am so tempted to give you her name. Some of you even have met her. But no, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't. It's not good to talk about your mother like that, you know. Oops. Yeah, my mother. My mother would sit on the phone. I call my mom at 10:30, 11, 11:30 at night, maybe midnight. I'm serious. Because when I call her, it's 2 hours different. So I call her about 10 o'clock at night. Here's midnight over there. And usually, let me tell you what usually happens. Hello. And I'm like, hey, Mom. She's like, oh, hold on 1 second. I'm talking to so-and-so. One of her sisters, I know. And I'm like, okay, Mom, just talk to them. I'll call you later. Okay, bye. And then, you know, of course, she's been on the phone for hours and hours. So. But you see what an intimate connection you create with people when you listen and when you talk to them. That's what we need to do with God. You see, we need to pay mind to what God wants to say. That's what the word is. And we need to pay mind to what he wants us. You see, how do you expect God to pay mind to your prayers if you don't pay mind to his word? You see, that's the important thing. And we need to do the same thing with people. And what is it that we need to do is dedicate time and devotion. The idea is to be able to be there, to be there, to be there. I heard about the man who married this young lady, and he promised her so many things, and he went out and did them. He went out and swam over the deepest rivers for her. He crossed the widest deserts for her. He climbed the highest mountains for her. And guess what she did? She divorced him. You know why? Because he was never home. That's what happens. The factor here is time, quality time with God and with others in order to build those relationships so that we can become one. We start at home, then our friends, our co-workers, and people whom we may not even know, and even our enemies. You see, Somebody said this, so many people are striving to be number one. God doesn't care if you're number one. God wants you to become one. It's very different. You see, that's what we need to be doing. He's more impressed with us becoming one than you becoming number one. We need to be praying for people. We need to be relating to people. If we want to win them to Christ, if we want to make disciples, if we want to do what we say we do here at the church, Christ expects us to be one. He prayed for us to be one. So ask God to give your heart like His for the people. How many of you would like to see criminals change their hearts and go after God? Well, talk to them. Talk to them. You need to connect with them. How about you and me? Wow. Okay, let's go. So let me just go into the passage real good now and think about a couple of things here. In verses 27 and 28, and what Jesus said, all things have been given to me. My Father and I are one. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. There's a connection there. And only those to whom He reveals it to would get to know that connection. So He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What a wonderful invitation and promise. Number one, then we can say that the Father is the only one who knows Jesus, truly, right? Jesus said it. He is sovereign. God is sovereign. And not only that, not only He knows Jesus is His only begotten Son, but He is sovereign and He has the right to either reveal or hide His Son from man, from humankind. Yet He chose to reveal Him to us. He sent Him so that He would dwell among us and that we would know Him, so that we could connect to Jesus and that way connect with God Himself. And not only He sent Him, but He gave Him authority. Remember, He said, all things have been given to me. And I decide whether I reveal and I want to reveal myself to you. And I invite you to come. I want you to know the Father. That's Jesus' desire. You see, the fact is that you need to know God. You need to connect with Jesus to know God. There's no other way to get to the Father. And we need that the Father reveals His Son to us so that we can connect with Him. If God doesn't reveal Jesus to us, we would never know God. That's very important. He is the only one. Number two, Jesus is the only way to know the Father. There's no other way. You see, back in the days before Jesus, the prophets came and gave the word. And that's how people got to know God, when they heard the voices of all these prophets and the godly manifestations and the miracles and the deliverance and all of that stuff. Now we have been given one wow miracle, the deliverance of our souls and the cross that Jesus Christ bore, and then the resurrection to give us power to live in the Spirit. What a wonderful way. He is the only way. All things have been given to Him, Jesus said. All, not some, but all things. The God, the Father, the Creator has placed everything on Him. And He is the one that invites you. And I want to show you a description of Jesus that needs to be analyzed here for a second. Let's think about it. John, the Apostle John writes in John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. The first four verses of the book of John say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is, the Word is Jesus, right? He was in the beginning with God. Think about it. Was God with God in the beginning, with God all the time, with God. Connection. All things came into being through Him. Everything through. And when you do something through, I mean, there's got to be a connection. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. There had to be a connection for everything to come into being. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is Jesus, who connects us with the Father through Himself, the light. creation, everything. Now, I want you to go a little bit further in verses 9 through 12 in the same chapter. There was the true light. Remember that he has said that he is light. Coming into the world enlightens every man. If you want to know God, the only way to know God is to be enlightened by Jesus. Connect us with him. He was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. But let's keep going. In verse 11, he came to his own and those who were his own did not receive him. In verse 12, but, and this is a great but, as many as received unto them, he gave the right to become what? Children. Talk about some connection. God doesn't just want you to relate to him and be his friend. God doesn't just want you to say, hey, I know him. Yeah, I know him too. He cool people. No, he wants you to act and become and be his child. You believe in him, you become his child, he becomes your father. But the only way is Jesus. In the ancient city of Troy, there was only one entrance to the city, only one entrance. And it didn't matter from which direction travelers came from, they had to go through the same city gate. It was the only legally appointed way of entry into Troy. The only appointed way to get to the Father is through Jesus. That's why he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's only one way in, and his name is Jesus. And the great thing, Jesus, before he bore the cross, before he went to be crucified, he prayed for us in John chapter 17. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, then they also may be in us. That's my prayer. Just like you are in me and I am in you, I want them to be in us. Talk about some connection. So that the world may believe you sent me. You see, people will believe. People will be convicted. People will start to get that conviction when they see you connected to God in the one and true way, Jesus Christ. Wow, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one in them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. I want people to know that God, Jesus is saying, I want everybody to know that just like you are connected to me, Father, they can be connected to you, the same connection. Can you imagine that? The connection which is between the Father and the Son in the heavens is the same connection he wants to have with you, earthlings. With every one of us. Every one of us. And he is the only one, and he invites us to rest in this connection. Now, let me finish up. Jesus makes the invitation to the ones who are weary and heavy laden. Weary and heavy laden. Now, when we talk about being weary, we're talking about doing too much work. Tired. Tired. Too much work. Too much work. It's not about your job. It's not about your boss. It's not about, I don't even have time to come to church because I'm too busy, because I work every Sunday, because I'm busy every Sunday, because I got visitors every Sunday, because I do this every Sunday, because every Sunday you find something to do except being here. But praise the Lord that most of you are always here. I'm talking to the ones over there, I guess. Hey, yeah, you. Come on over. Yeah. Yeah, we find too many excuses because we're too busy. We take on too much. And then we complain. Oh, people at the church don't even call me no more. Well, you know what? I used to be really tight up in the church. But lately, they're like, I don't even know what's going on at church. And they're like, they don't communicate. Where are you? Think about it. But now, okay, I got to preach to them too. You can't just take it all yourself.
Right? So I want you to think about that, because this is very important. People are tired. You are tired. I am tired. But Jesus wasn't talking about that kind of tired. Jesus was talking about the Pharisees imposing so much work in order to become righteous. He was saying, you think you got to do all these laws. As a matter of fact, it is said that the Pharisees added more than 600 laws just to the Sabbath. And I don't know. I've always thought it was just 600 and something laws extra that they've added to the Ten Commandments or something like that. But I don't know if that's true or not. But even at that, God gave us 10 and the Pharisees gave us 600 something. You think about that. Of course the people were weary. They were trying so hard to earn God's grace. And guess what? Grace is free. They were trying to impress God, trying to impress others, trying to please God, trying to please themselves. And it doesn't work. That's too much work. Me trying to please you, trying to please me, trying to please God. Man, that's weary. Isn't it? Can we do enough to please God? Can we do enough? We become weary. But not only weary, but also heavy laden. Now, this is something else. You see, one thing is you working and working and working and working. Another thing is getting something placed on you. That's why I'm saying the people were working so hard to please God and to become righteous. They were doing all this work. They became weary. But why did they become weary? Because they have been heavy laden. Somebody had placed upon them a yoke. Somebody had placed on them a big old load. They allowed themselves to be loaded with all this stuff. You see, as if God had placed the burden on their shoulders. And sometimes we feel the same way. You see, from the beginning, Adam and Eve, and down to you and me, we become heavy laden with sin, and sin just reaps guilt, shame, dishonor, disgrace, and frustration. And you think about all of that, that's a heavy load to carry. And it's all imposed to us by sin and by the enemy and even ourselves. In other words, Jesus then invites who? Who are the weary and heavy laden? Everyone, because everyone is plagued by the same problem, the same load, the guilt of sin, the condemnation. So Jesus' invitation is for every single one. Of course, those who accept the invitation. I read a story about a man back in old days who was preaching on this verse 28, where it says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And towards the end of the sermon, the old man was preaching, and he just started saying, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. And he started breaking down, and no other words would come out of his mouth. All he could say was, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. He kept repeating it again and again and again and again. And he just couldn't say anything else. So he said, what does that mean? Everybody was quiet. And this little girl raised her hand from one of the pews. And he was a gentleman. And he said, okay, young lady, what does that mean when Jesus says, comes to me? And she said, he wants me. That's what it means. That he wants me. And Jesus wants you. Jesus wants to offer you rest. And this is not a rest to do nothing. Jesus is not saying, come to me and you will do nothing. No, because he says, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke. There's work to be done. But we're not going to talk about that until 2 weeks from now. Serving, right? The yoke. What do we do with the yoke? We serve. But that may not get ahead. But you see, it's not about not doing anything, but it's about having the peace and the tranquility and the resting and knowing that you are with Christ, that you're walking the way, because he is the way. And that way connects you to God, who is Jesus. He connects you to your Creator. And he becomes your father because he loves you and he wants you with all of his might. That's why he invited, or he sent Jesus to invite you to come to him to have rest for your soul, not from the toils of this world, but rest for your soul, to know that there will be an eternity of connection with God, something that nothing or no one on earth can give you. That's Jesus who makes the invitation, the way to the Father, who invites you to walk towards him and connect with him through Christ Jesus.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.